Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible, so you'll find it near the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is speaking, and it's the eighth verse, and you'll immediately sense the closeness with what we've just been singing, that we'll never walk alone. He's been faithful. Listen to this verse of Scripture, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It's one of those verses that sounds like it belongs on a calendar. You know, you turn the month and there's a beautiful scenery with majestic mountains, and then flowing script down at the lower right-hand corner, you find Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It just has that comforting kind of ring to it. It's a wonderful, wonderful promise. It's the kind of thing that maybe, in our mothers or grandmothers would have embroidered or cross-stitched and hung it on the wall. Maybe a Christian plaque. We don't do plaques much anymore. The best plaque I ever saw was in my dentist's office. It said, regular flossing could have prevented this plaque. But you know, in other generations, plaques were kind of popular things, and often they'd have these encouraging or uplifting scripture verses, like this one. It's a great, great verse with a wonderful promise. However, and you sense there was a however about to come, when you read the context of this verse, you discover there's more going on here. So let me do that. Let me begin with verse 1 of Deuteronomy 31. Moses is speaking. This is the end of his ministry as the leader of Israel. So the chapter begins, Deuteronomy 31:1. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them as their inheritance. And here is verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. There are really two unsettling things going on here for the children of Israel. The first is that Moses is about to step down as their leader. He's the only leader they've ever known. He's led the people of Israel for 40 years. He was 80 years of age when he led them out of Egypt. It would be for you and I as if we'd had the same leader since 1977. And for those four decades, we were used to the same person, comfortable with the same person, had come to trust that person, and had not experienced any other leadership. In fact, he was the only leader they had ever known. He was the first leader as they came out of their Egyptian slavery. And now he's saying, I'm not going to cross the Jordan with you. Joshua will be your new leader. And they're having trouble understanding all that, what might that mean, and is Joshua, will he be as wise a leader as Moses was? There's just this change. Change is often unsettling. But the greater thing that was unsettling was the fact that they were about to cross the Jordan River into the land which God had promised, which was fully occupied by people who weren't about to pack up their suitcases and leave. This land would have to be conquered. And they were remembering back to the generation before, their parents' generation, when their moment had come for the people to enter the land, and their parents' generation had said, no, we're not going to do that. It's not safe. It's way too dangerous. And you remember the story how that they send the 12 spies into the land to spy out the land, because none of them have ever been there. They don't know what the land is like. And the spies bring back their report, and two of them, Caleb and Joshua, the Joshua that we're talking about here, encourage the people to enter the land, but the others bring back a bad report. The men said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We look like grasshoppers in their own eyes, and we look the same to them. In our own eyes, and we look the same to them. And so Numbers chapter 14 tells the story of their rebellion. They refused to cross the river into the land of promise. And they say to Moses and Aaron, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Now, they're not thinking clearly. I always wonder what they would do when they got to the Red Sea. But at any rate, they're not going to go into the promised land. They're basically saying, look, we have children, we have wives, it's not safe. And it wasn't. There was some risk involved. It was a obedient step of faith that God was requiring that they take. And they said no. Now it's 40 years later. They've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. God's been caring for them and providing for them. But now they're coming to that place where it's time to cross the river. That's an unsettling fact. They realize that what lies ahead is very unknown to them. There will be battles that need to be fought. There will be blood that will be shed. There will be walled, fortified cities that need to be taken. They will come face to face with armed, skilled warriors. And they themselves are just a nation of people who've learned to survive in these 40 years in the desert. And now they're going to cross the Jordan and it's very unsettling, and they're looking at all this, saying, wondering how, what it all means. And so Moses begins to speak to them. I'm 120 years old. God's told me my time is done here. I'm not going to be able to cross the Jordan with you. Joshua is your new leader, and he will lead you into the land that God has given to you. And then in verse 7, as Moses is speaking to the crowd, in verse 7 it says, Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel. He says, Joshua, you come up here with me. And then he specifically addresses Joshua as in front of the entire nation. It's sort of an inaugural moment here when he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. This is not a word of comfort, like a warm blanket to complacent armchair Christians. It is a great statement of assurance to those who are about to step out in bold, obedient faith, risking everything to be faithful to the call of God on them. And it's to them that God is saying, through Moses, I'll be with you. I'll go before you. And as Moses speaks this word to Joshua, he says, the Lord himself will go before you. Now, that ought to sound familiar to you, because just last week when we were in 1 Peter 2:4, we were looking at that verse of Scripture where it says of Christ that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And we took note of the fact of the redundancy there, that Peter didn't need to say he himself. He could have just said he bore our sins in his body on the tree. But he includes the word himself in order to draw our attention to who it is that's bearing our sins in his body on the tree. It's Christ himself. And so we looked at some of those great passages that describes who this Jesus is there from the prologue of John's gospel in John 1, from Colossians chapter 1, where it speaks of who Christ is, from Philippians chapter 2. And we took the time to take note of who this is, this he himself who bore our sin. Now Moses is talking, and it's the Lord himself. The NIV, the English Standard Version, says, it is the Lord who goes before us, goes before you. It's that same kind of emphasis. He didn't need to say, it is the Lord. He just could have just said, the Lord goes before you. But it is the Lord. And the word Lord there is that word for Yahweh, the great Jehovah, the great I Am that we sang of this morning. The God who comes and confronts Moses there at the burning bush and introduces himself as I Am that I Am. That's what my name is. And when Moses says, the Lord will go before you, Moses, think of Moses' history with Jehovah, with Yahweh. He met the Lord at the burning bush. And God's call was upon Moses' life. Moses argued against it, but finally understands that God's calling him, and he and his brother Aaron go and begin to bring the word of the Lord to Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, and God sends the plagues, and Moses begins to realize that the Lord is now working through him. And eventually that night would come when the angel of judgment would pass over the land and the people of Israel would be released from bondage, and off they'd go. And there at the Red Sea, Moses discovered again who the Lord is. And he stood with the staff of God in his hand and saw the waters piling up on both sides and the people of Israel going through on dry land. Moses met the Lord there at Mount Sinai as the thick darkness surrounded the mountain and the earth trembled under his feet. He obeyed the summons and made his way to the top of the mountain where he met with the Lord. The Lord gave him the law and the Lord gave him the tablets of stone. And there he met with God. And when he came down from the mountain, his face was aglow with the Shekinah glory of having been with the Lord. It's the Lord who will provide the water when they're thirsty, the manna when they're hungry. It's the Lord that Moses meets with in the tent of the meeting. It's the Lord who gives him the instructions for the tabernacle, which is then built as a place where they can meet with the Lord. It's the Lord who goes before them as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And Moses, with all of that history of walking with the Lord, says to Joshua, the Lord himself will go before you. What a glorious thing. Think of what it means. The Lord himself is going before us. I mean, we're going into unknown territory. None of us have ever been there except for a few spies. The rest of us, we're not familiar with the land. We don't know where we're going. I think this is the third chapter of Joshua where they get ready to cross the river, and Joshua says to the people of Israel, wait and follow behind the Ark of the Covenant, because we've never been this way before and we don't know where we're going. And so they wait and they follow us. The Lord is going before them, and we need to know that the Lord is going before us, because we often find ourselves in places where we've not gone before. In our lives, there are places, there are new chapters that open to us, and we've not been down this road before. And how wonderful to know that as we obey the Lord and step out in faith, that He goes before us, He guides us, He protects us. In the third verse of this chapter, the Lord Himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you'll take possession of their land. He'll fight your battles. And they cross over the river, and the very first place they come to is Jericho, and God gives them very specific instructions about what to do there, how to bring those walls down, how to win a great victory. The Lord goes before them. They know His guidance, and they know His protection, and they know what it is to see Him fight their battles for them. As long as they obey, they live in this wonderful place of knowing the reality of this promise that they received from God through Moses. The Lord Himself will go before you. He will be with you. He'll be with you. What a glorious truth, that God with us. Jesus came. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Sat with His disciples in the upper room and explained to them that He was about to leave, and they were, of course, troubled by what does that mean? What do you mean you're about to leave? You can't leave. They've come to trust Him. They've seen Him still the storm. They've seen Him feed the crowd. They've seen Him instruct the truth to the people there. They've watched Him time after time just do remarkable and wonderful things, and they've left everything to follow Him, and now He's saying, I'm leaving. But He gives them this wonderful promise. He says, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send my Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the living God will be with you. The Spirit of the risen Christ will be with you. How wonderful is that, that every one of us who know the Lord have the glorious, wonderful provision of God's Holy Spirit. God puts His Spirit in us, and His promise is, I will go before you, I will be with you. When the disciples are there with Jesus and He gives them that instruction that we call the Great Commission, He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you, always. Till the end of the age, I'm with you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll bear witness to me in Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria until it goes to the very ends of the earth. And I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if we read Deuteronomy 31:8 as if it's just a comforting thought on the calendar or the coffee mug or the plaque, the Lord Himself goes before you. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I mean, those are wonderful, wonderful words. But those are words that are being spoken to people who are about to step out in bold faith, risking everything to follow God. If we're a church for ourselves, we don't need those words. But if we're going to be a church that's going to reach our city and love our city and take the message of hope of the gospel to the nations, then we desperately need those. We can't possibly do this by ourselves. We have to know that the Lord is going ahead of us. The Lord Himself is going before us. He will be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So we ought not to be afraid or discouraged, because those times will certainly come if we're walking a life of faith, if we're going to be Hebrews 11 kind of people who are doing exploits because we're trusting God and we're stepping out in obedient faith. Then we know we can't. There's enemies who are living in the land. We can't possibly do this. It's not safe. I remember a number of years ago, John Piper speaking and was talking about the ministry of their church, Bethlehem Baptist, in this inner city, downtown, and talking about interviewing potential staff members and then some of them asking the question, I have a young family. Is it safe to live down there? And Piper's response was, no, it's not safe, but what kind of a question is that? Of course it's not safe. But we're called to be people who obey and go and speak and give and pray and see the kingdom of God come and see it advance. And the promise of God is that as we do that, He will go before us. He will be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So we don't need to be afraid and we don't need to be discouraged. He will always, always be faithful. I will be with you always, to the end of the age. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we don't want to